singing all the way around. Let me get this button here pushed on. Brother David, is that on now? Yeah, thank you. I'm used to people telling me that it's on, you know. For a long time, I didn't know what they were doing. Then I figured out after 3 or 4 years, it's on. It made me feel better, too, when I knew they weren't just being ugly to me. Crazy people, you're crazy. All right, take your Bible, if you will, the book of Luke, in the book of Luke. We read this morning there, and chapter number 15, we read there in about verse 17. And let's just read that again. And if you're able to stand, we'll do that while we look there real quickly. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father." Was saying to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants." Our Father, we ask your blessing now upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you, Lord, how good it is to be in the house of God tonight. We pray now that your blessings be upon all these requests that have been mentioned, these folks that are traveling, those that shall be. May you build a hedge about them. Lord, we praise you and thank you because thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. Real quickly tonight, whenever we begin to look at this young man here that's gone into the far country, wasted all of his substance and riotous living, I want to say to you that he left the house with hell in his heart, and he came back home barefooted. In fact, whenever you think about the other night, you know, I remember over there in the book of Romans in chapter number 10, whenever he said, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel." Remember that? Yeah. Over there in the book of Ephesians, where was it? About chapter number 6, about verse number 15. "And let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel." Yeah. I want to tell you something is that, remember we talked about, look at all the tracks that we're making. Do you realize to know that all the tracks that he was making from the time he left his house, he left there barefooted, he left there unshod, he got in the hog pen alive. You could find some of his tracks that are there. But things are about to change for this young man. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, and by the way, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, God sooner or later has to get your attention. And by that, he's never going to bring you to yourself. You're never going to come to yourself and to your senses until he does do that. And you're never going to hear God enough while you're busy looking at the wall, looking down, looking around, looking up, looking at somebody else. I wonder what kind of hair tonic he's using. I don't know, but it looks to me like she's got something she's putting in her hair different. See, if you can do that enough and worry about everybody else's business except between you and God, you'll wake up one of these days in hell. In the lesson here that we're looking at, you'll find this was a different young man. He confessed that I'm a sinner. I've sinned against heaven and against thee and so forth and on. Now, I realize, though, that the father, he already knew that this man was going to come back home empty-handed and going to need somebody to care about him, somebody that was compassionate toward him, somebody that loved him. And let me tell you right now is when the young man showed up, the father was already looking, saw him coming from a ways off, and whenever he did, he went out there to meet him. And in the midst of all the confession that he made, the father went to say, "Hey, my son was dead. He's alive. He take the best robe and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet." You think that boy, the next time he makes a track, ain't going to be shod with the preparation of the gospel? See, you know what's wrong with the sinner, don't you? The sinner is afraid God's going to wants to control part of his life. Let me just put you at ease at that. God does not want part of your life. God wants all of your life. He wants all your attention. He wants all your love and compassion. He wants you to love him with all your every fiber of your being, with your heart, with your soul, with your might, with your mind. if you please. God wants all of you. Well, as a result of that, there was great joy and there was great jubilation because of what the Father had bestowed upon this fine young man. No doubt his heart was broken, though. Let me tell you right now, God does not want to cast any one of you in hell, but he will. He doesn't want to, but he will. He didn't prepare hell for humanity. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. But everybody who dies without the Lord, everybody dies unshod, everybody dies going their own direction, never coming to themselves, is going to die without hope and without God and spend eternity in a place called hell. It's called the bottomless pit. It's called the lake of fire. It's called where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. A fellow back whenever I was growing up, young in the ministry in this, Gardner Ted Armstrong. His daddy was named Herbert. Didn't matter. Both of them in Armstrongism. Both of them hell-bent and hell-bound. But they just believed that if you died out here in a car wreck and it caught a fire and you burned up, that'd be tragic while you were dying and burning in a car wreck that you had that caught a fire. But after that, it burned slap up and you were gone. That's all there'd be to it. Now, the world likes to hear that. That's just all there'd be to it right here. But that ain't all there is to it. I guarantee you right now, it's an eternal fire. It's an eternal punishment. Why do you think that the Lord would send his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish? Hey, that's what this guy here thought. He sat there, and that day he came to himself, and he said, man, my father's got hired servants that are doing better than I'm doing. They've got more than I've got. I'm sitting here perishing with hunger. I'm starving slap dab to death right here. I think I'm going to go to the Father. I want to say to you, when he got there, no doubt, after that God put upon him the best robe. And let me tell you what the best robe is, in case you don't know it. It's the robe of salvation that only God can put upon you. You can't go somewhere and try that on, look in the mirror and admire yourself, so forth and on, and think, I don't know if I really want this or not. Oh, I say, well, here's a suit from hell. Would you rather wear that all the way to eternity? See? I got to say to you that whenever this young man came, he certainly was humble, and buddy, he was showered with love and compassion. You know what that tells me? That the Father's more anxious for us to come to him than we are to get there. Well, in closing tonight, I had another sermon I was going to speak and I was going to preach on. And then I thought, well, let me just finish this one up here. We got some people that are in a hurry to get out of town. They're already saved. They're hell-proof. They're heaven-bound. And so they're not going to heaven tonight, we hope. But they are going to try to go to Cabo. Of course, let me tell you that if you go to Houston and spend the night, you're as close to hell as you'll find here on this earth. They don't call it Taco Hell for nothing over there in Houston. This young man here that no doubt it made a difference in his heart, made a difference in his life. I'm going to tell you something, all you gals, is that if you'll just be patient, be faithful, be servant of the Lord, in due time, God will do with you and it'll open right up before you. I'm telling you right now, before you ever realize what happened. But if then you've got some skank, y'all know Reba McEntire? Well, I just barely know her. I mean, we're not like classmates or bosom buddies or nothing. But I remember years ago, it was a very popular hit, and some of you may remember this song. And the words of it said, I could have loved you forever before I gave my heart away. And the lyrics in the chorus finally ended up, where were you when I could have loved you? Where were you when I gave my heart away? All my life, I've been looking for you. waiting for you. But you came along one promise too late. Now, you'd think that I listened to that song all the time. It's been 100 years since I heard it. But let me tell you right up front, dear friend, there's a lot of people living that reality and living that song. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody's going to come along, get a hold of your attention. And let me tell you right now is that if you've waited on the Lord and you've waited till God put it together and you've exercised patience with Him, I can promise you what He'll do is that He'll bring somebody shod along your way in life, girls. He'll bring somebody along shod, fellas. You not, might just want to settle for one of them old mud bug barefooted girls that's been with everybody under the sun. She'll love you like she has the other dozen people that she's run upon in life. That's awful quiet. It's awful quiet. I mean, if nothing else, hon, you start shouting amen or something just so. See that? You just got to be careful about getting in too big a hurry, because that's what was wrong with this young man when he left home. Yes, boy, he ain't no hurry tonight. No. I guarantee you right now. He's working around there and with his father, and I mean the father's loving him and smothering him with the compassion and kisses and putting the best robe on him and the ring on his fingers, shoes on his feet. I can tell you right up front, they're playing music, they're making merry, they're killing the fatted calf. Talk about, dear friend, a man that's happy in the will of God. That's just what I'm trying to say to you. Now, in closing, I'll be done. I can't tell you of how many people that I remember and think back on in high school. Some of them, you know, by the time they got my age, they're on their seventh or eighth husband or wife. That's real loving, ain't it? And I got to tell you something right now, gals. Let me drop this on you like a ton of bricks. My wife don't have her separate account in case something happens. She gets mad at me and wants to be needed.
Yes, sir, you're right. Amen.
God bless you.
Yes.
I don't guess she does. I'm going to ask you for before God in front of these people here. Have you got an account that I don't know about and money that I don't know about? Well, bless God, if you have, let's get it out and get it up. What kind of trust, what kind of love, what kind of thing is that right there? See? All right, I'm going to say in closing that if you will, what a glorious, what a wonderful day that it was and that you'll have. You'll never be able to get past it. I mean, listen, from now on, everywhere he went, that's my boy. Look at the shoes that he's been shod with. I put them on him. He came home barefooted. And he left here shod with the gospel. I bet you he told everybody that he knew about how good God had been, where God had brought him from, where he would have been and could have been had it not been for the wonderful, marvelous grace of God. Don't you want that for your life? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. Now, I pray for these that are sick tonight, you touch them, restore their health. I pray for these tonight that, Lord, that we know that are connected with us that are bereaved. I pray that you'd comfort them. How that we pray that now you'd move upon us and within us. We thank for every man, woman, and boy and girl. And we look with great anticipation to thy soon coming again.